welcome to the Basement Shuffle. Once again, I'm joined by my good friend, Andy Dorsey.
Hello. We are doing this video chat because of the shit that's going around.
Yep. Obvious reasons. The same thing everybody else is dealing with. Some bullshit virus.
You know it.
So yeah, man. This show's about nothing. Kind of like the audio equivalent of Seinfeld.
Well, I'm being joined my lovely wife.
Nope. What? Who is that, Marla?
It's Marla.
It's his other wife.
Let me see her.
Oh,
hey! Stop being shy, man. I mean, if you're going to be out here, just say hello.
I was just coming out to get another drink.
Okay, this is being here, so say hello.
Hello. You're not going to be seen publicly. You're just going to be heard.
Right. Yeah.
And it'll probably only be by like 5 people, so don't be too embarrassed.
7 months.
Oh, my God.
What are you guys drinking? Mm. What's in the fridge? What did Mike. You just get out of the fridge? I'm
drinking a Mike's.
Mike's Hard Lemonade?
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Is it delicious?
Cherry something.
Mm. It's black cherry, but it's still called Mike's Hard Lemonade. Yeah. That's it. They come in different flavors.
So instead of lemonade, it's Cherryade?
Sure.
I will go with that.
Sounds gross. Or is it like lemonade with cherry in it?
It's sugar, man.
It gets you drunk.
So what songs have you guys done yet?
Well, we just opened the show with Nothing from Nothing by Billy Preston. Have you ever heard that song?
Yes.
Who hasn't? It's a classic from the 70s.
This is true.
I believe Andy used to have the same hairstyle as Billy Preston did in the 70s. Is that true?
That would definitely be a no. My hair was more like Prince.
In the 70s? Like straightened?
Yeah, dude.
Come on.
Maybe you haven't seen any of those pictures of me like years ago before I guess that was before I met you guys, but it was probably right before I met you guys.
Oh, my God. I have to see that. In fact, can I use it as the podcast picture?
Y'all have to find an old picture. Yeah, it's probably a couple in my yearbook.
Please do, man. I got to see this with processed hair, dude. I got to see you with like, you're saying like Prince. Like you have like womanly hair.
Ooh. No, man. I did not have womanly hair.
Okay, I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
So
he's losing it, folks. He's losing it.
I am. I had too much quarantine. So yeah, man. Do you have any special memories of listening to Nothing from Nothing back in the day?
Not really. It's one of those songs that a lot of people have heard, you know, and I'm sure that I heard that when I was a kid. I mean, a young kid.
Yeah.
And liked it. You know, it's a nice song. It's definitely about nothing. I mean, it's Kevin picked the topic this week, y'all. So, woohoo!
Andy was not the biggest fan of it.
Every song is about something, pretty much. I'm very curious as to what you come up with.
I like your take on that. I mean, you're right. That song definitely has a meaning. You know, there are some pretty whack songs out there. Anyway, I was going to say that this song reminds me of was it Eddie Murphy Raw or Eddie Murphy Delirious, where he was talking like his dad. Talking about his dad being like how he would like quote song lyrics when he was drunk. You remember that?
Yeah, it's one of those, but dude, I couldn't tell you. Yeah.
Anyway. So, moving right along, let us get to one of your picks. And all right.
Did you want to do them in order that I gave them to you? Because, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I think I'm going to go backwards.
Okay. Go backwards.
Yeah. We're going to do... Now, how do you pronounce? Is it just the letters, or do you actually?
This is pronounced. The name of the band is called Eben Ozen.
Eben Ozen, okay.
Eben Ozen.
Are they from America? And,
no, of course not. Mm. The song is called A-E-I-O-U, mm-hmm. and it's a song about nothing.
Here it goes: A-E-I-O-U by Eben Ozen.
Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. Walking on Broadway, you know, and there's this incredible looking Swedish girl having a cappuccino across the street from Lincoln Center. I started talking to her, you know, and she said her name was Lola. Her English wasn't too good, you know, but we wound up spending about 5 hours together just hanging out, you know. So we go back to my place and get high and we get really into each other, man. I mean, it was love about to happen, I'm serious. And then all of a sudden she gets up and she says, hey, I really gotta leave. Damn. Hey. Flipped out, you know, she asked me if I'm angry or something. I said, of course I'm angry, man. This isn't high school or anything, you know. So I'm feeling really cavalier. I say, call me, you know, if you want to. Yeah, call me if you want to. So she rang me.
That's a wild song.
You want to go out? Yeah. I'm having lighting difficulties here.
You look great. Like I said, we're not going to broadcast the video, just the audio.
Right. So I heard about a minute of that song.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like cutting out on my end.
Oh, bummer.
I saw you rocking out, though.
I was definitely rocking out to some Eben Ozen.
Have you heard that before?
You know, it sounds familiar, but I swear I've probably only heard it once. I bet you've played it for me. Would I have heard that on the radio or anything else?
MTV, they actually do have a video for that song. And I want to say it came out around like 84, maybe 85, something like that. And it was one of those big British hits that kind of had like a crossover because they played it in a lot of clubs. And, you know, so it was popular in clubs. Wasn't like, you know, a massive hit, but, you know, club kids knew about it. So
certainly
and I heard it. Yeah. I think this song is dope, but it's not really about nothing.
Certainly.
Is it about, you know, is it about him dating a girl? Is it about, you know, yeah, it's about a lot, but it's about nothing. So
he mentions language in there, doesn't he?
He does.
I think it's about language. I think it's a language barrier between him and a girl that he's trying to mack on.
Well, and there you go. So it's not really a song about nothing. Oops, Andy 0, Kevin 1.
But we'll never know. I mean, that's just me speculating. You know, we won't know. We're not in Ibn Azin's head, so we can only speculate.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true, but... yeah, it's very difficult to find a song about nothing. So anyway,
these fellows look great on the album cover. By the way, they look like. Are you familiar with the album cover?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got a fellow that kind of looks like John Bon Jovi with blonder hair. He's got some gray slacks on, heavily pleated in the front, and he's got red suspenders on with a white tank top. With a ponytail and a fedora. And then you got his buddy back here with a black suit, red shirt, and then he's holding a computer keyboard.
Right.
So he's very not only just a computer keyboard, but it's a black keyboard with white keys. So it's very fashionable, fashion-forward, technology-forward album cover. Very 80s.
Like Ebony and Ivory.
Maybe that's what Ibn Azin means.
Ebony and ivory?
Maybe. Ebon could be ebony.
Yeah, but now it's pronounced Ozen.
Oh, okay. So that's definitely not ivory.
Right. Ozen. Yeah.
Ozen. All right. Ozen. All right.
So song number 2 for you.
Okay.
And this is a song about nothing.
Yeah. This is a song about nothing. I'm gonna play a couple of songs, man, since you only picked a couple.
Alright.
But
we can do
here's one that's fairly recent, because I struggle to play recent music on this show because I'm stuck in the past for some reason. I listen to a lot of 70s, a little bit of 60s. I need to get back into the present. So here's a song by Jeff Parker, guitar player for the band Tortoise, who's been putting out his own solo stuff for a while. And I believe this one has vocals by his daughter. Anyway, it's called Build a Nest.
Hopefully I'll hear it.
Everyone moves like they've some place to go. Build a nest in a hostile world. Go by slow. A wise one told me they were disconsolate. There are no trapdoors if you be leaving fate.
And that's it. That was Build a Nest by Jeff Parker. Lyrics and vocals by his daughter. I forget her name. I'm sorry.
Katrina? I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I was trying, while we were listening to that, I was trying to look up the lyrics, but it's too new of a song. Nobody's added them yet. I should have thought ahead and wrote them down myself.
Yeah, because I mean, it just doesn't sound good. No offense. This speaker of mine is just not doing me justice.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, man. Is it like distorted or what's going on there?
No. It sounds like it's coming out of a one-inch speaker or something. I don't know.
It is. it literally is. I have one side of a headphone taped to the microphone of the computer. So it's not ideal. I'm sorry about that. We have to make do with what we have in these times of quarantine.
Oh. See, I thought you were just going to give me a direct line.
I don't know how to do that. I'd love to figure that out for the next one.
Gosh, all right.
Yeah, this is my first time doing a remote podcast, so forgive me.
All right, we'll clear that up on the next one. I'll send you some text messages on how to do that.
Please do.
Seriously.
Oh, for real?
Yes, fool.
All right.
What do you think? I'm joking?
I'm sorry I laughed.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why I laughed. But so yeah, man, what do you think of that song? Have you listened to that? I know I've sent you a song
go
or
away.
Two from that. Yeah, Go Away from that album. That's the only
song I've heard.
Oh, okay. So you haven't heard Build a Nest before.
You know, it's strange that you mentioned, and I was going to say, Kevin, you don't need to leave the 70s. Most of the music that I've been chasing down lately is 70s music.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. 70s music is beautiful.
Why is that?
Down.
Do you think it's because you're returning to stuff that turned you on as a young man?
No. I have a Rolling Stone used to come up with these books. And since I have so much time on my hand now, I've been reading a lot. And they're just record reviews, but they're really thick books. And one of them is strictly jazz. The other one is rock, blues, jazz, soul, and it's even got a little bit of hip hop in it. Now the book is old; it came out in like 1990, I think. But it's very informative, and they rate each album from 1 to 5 stars. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you start reading about a certain artist, and you're like, "Well, what is this?" You know. That's how I've been finding a lot of music. You know, that and people sending me stuff.
Now, you said that this was put out in the 90s?
The book was, yeah.
Yeah. But you're finding yourself searching for stuff in the 70s.
Well, it's a history of. So if they, say they talk about, I don't know, Miles Davis, they're going to list every single album he had. And they rate it from 1 to 5 stars.
Sure.
Duke Ellington, same thing.
Right, but I guess what my question is, since this book was put out in the 90s, they're just talking about music from the 90s all the way back to, I don't know, the 50s.
Well, no. I mean, they're talking about music that came out in 2011 also.
Not if the book was put out in the 90s.
Exactly. You just answered your own question.
But no, I was confused because I thought maybe this was a book that was specifically about the 70s. But you're saying it's just...
No. For some reason, I call it a coincidence. The stuff that I just... Like, I'll open a page and be like, oh, well, who's this? Happens to be an artist from the 70s.
Off the top of your head... What was the last one that you looked up that really turned you on?
Couldn't tell you. really couldn't remember the name, but I was actually doing. He's got a really short name, like Roy or Ray, and his last name is Ty or something like that. He's got a really short name.
Ray Ty. Wait, bow tie. Neck. Yeah, I think it's neck.
Bow tie. He's related to Ty Bo.
That dude is cut.
But this guy, he wasn't really country. He wasn't really rock. But he kind of leans. It kind of leans towards. It's like a mix of blues, country, and rock.
Guy Clark.
Of like Waylon Jennings, but the music is definitely not as country as, you know, Waylon Jennings.
Guy Clark. Is that the name?
Is that his name?
I was asking you. That was a name. You were describing the type of music, and you said it was like a one syllable name for both names. I was throwing it out there, hoping that it would ring a bell.
Not sure if Clark was his last name.
Okay.
I mean, I can go grab the book real quick.
Nah. Forget it.
All right.
That's funny, man. All right, cool, man. So, all right, but you find yourself the most of the stuff you're finding in the book that you look up is from the 70s.
Right. For like another example, you know, I'm extremely unfamiliar with probably one of the biggest bands ever in Fleetwood Mac. I mean, I went to go see him live, and I still know very little about that band.
Right.
So, you know, I was reading their section that they were writing about Fleetwood Mac, too. And, you know, obviously they're from the 70s. And, yeah, there's just a lot of 70s music that specifically 70s rock.
Right.
Now, 70s soul, yeah, I grew up with that.
Okay.
Right.
Fleetwood Mac, that's kind of a dense subject, man. I mean, they started in the 60s as like just a blues band with a totally different lineup than how they ended up in like 75, which is their longest running hit-making lineup.
Lindsay.
Right. Yeah, he was in that hit making group with Lindsay and his.
And that's because he was the songwriter that took them to the next plateau.
Wouldn't you say that his partner? Say again?
Lindsay was the one that took them to that next plateau as far as songwriting goes. They were competent musicians, they were good musicians, but Lindsay's songwriting skills is really what propelled that band.
Well, they were, him and Stevie were a partnership.
Correct. And they were in a band before they joined Fleetwood.
Buckingham Nicks.
Correct.
I've got that record. Have you listened to it?
Oh, wow. That is a rare record, dude. No, I've never listened to it. I've heard about it, but I heard it wasn't really good either.
I'll have to let you listen to it. There's some good cuts on there that definitely illustrate why Mick Fleetwood wanted him in the band.
Right. And then the bass player was his brother also.
What?
At least I think it was.
No, he had a
different name.
John McVie. That's the Mick in that's the Mac in Fleetwood Mac is John McVie.
Ugh. All right.
Who was married to Christine McVie, who played keyboards and sang and wrote.
Right. Now, she was in the band, I want to say, before
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks and, Lindsay.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't think she was there at the beginning, though.
No, sir.
Yeah.
No. Actually, that record that you have has her on it. And I think she drew the album cover for that one. What is that one called? Do you remember?
No, absolutely not.
But you have it in your room. It's right there.
I'm in the garage right now, and that's where I'm doing this podcast.
Okay. But you have – that's a, do you like that record?
I do, but it's going to take years. Their sound to me, Kevin, is just one of unfamiliarity. So it's hard for me to, you know, just know their music, know their songs. They just – I don't know. They, you know, it's not hard rock. It's not metal, and that's what I – first flock to when I started listening to rock. You know, they just have a different vibe going there.
When would you say you started listening to rock?
Probably it was middle school, and it was basically Kiss and Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Later came Van Halen and Iron Maiden.
I knew you were a Maiden fan.
Huge, huge Iron Maiden fan. Can't be stressed enough.
Well, yeah. You're a bass player, so it's kind of obvious. That
yeah, and I think Steve Harris is one of the greatest bass players ever. I think he gets overlooked by a lot of jazz bass players and a lot of people that do a lot of slapping and stuff like that. Harris is not into that, but
he's got he's got the gallop.
Oh, well, he's got that, but he can play slow too. Some of their ballad songs, because Iron Maiden does have some ballads that are just very powerful. He's a solid bass player that doesn't get too flashy.
Right.
Which I kind of like.
Right. And does he write the lyrics or just the songs?
He writes about maybe 80% of the lyrics.
Gotcha. And then Bruce Dickinson writes the rest?
Bruce Dickinson writes about the rest pretty much. Right. Every now and then, Adrian Murray will write one or two songs, and even when I say Adrian Murray, it's Dave Murray. And Adrian.
You married those two.
God, man, what's wrong with me?
But
I don't know. Yeah, we're getting way off topic here, man.
But okay, well, you just mentioned a band that I was gonna put on my list, but didn't. But I'm gonna put them back on since you mentioned them. A call back to your youth when you started listening to rock. This is a song about nothing, by one of those bands that you just mentioned.
All right.
Andy, are you with me?
Yes.
Could you hear the song?
It sounded like You Got Nothing to Lose.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, who is that? Would that be Kiss?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounded like them, but man, yeah, we got to do something about this audio. But
I
could hear the nothing to lose part. Yeah.
Is it too loud?
No, it's not too loud. I can control the volume on my
No, I understand that, but does it sound like it's too loud from my end? Like, is it, like, distorting? Is that why you can't hear it? Or is it too quiet?
No, it's just, it's cutting in and out a little.
Okay.
It's not too loud.
We'll figure this out. But, yes, you're right. That was a band from your childhood called Kiss. With Nothing to Lose. And I'm pretty sure that song is about sex, which most of their songs are about. In fact, I think it's about a very specific type of sex. But I'm not going to go into it.
You did say something about you don't have a baby or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah, but I think they mentioned something about the back door. But I mean, that could mean anything. It could mean two things in a rock and roll song. But
that's true.
I'm gonna assume that maybe it was the cleaner version, maybe he's 70s. Maybe it's she's got a man on the side. He's the man on the side who sneaks out the back door.
And, got nothing to lose.
Yeah, what do you got to lose?
You can sneak out the back door and then sneak in the back door.
Yeah, you know what? I think all signs point to that.
Yes, man.
They were gross, dude. They were a little bit gross. But,
yeah.
They could rock. I got to be honest with you, man. I mean, I'm a Kiss apologist. I can understand why people don't get them, think they're dumb. But I dig them. I thought they wrote good songs.
Yeah, I think people say that because they had the gimmick with the makeup.
Oh yeah.
If you look beyond that, that band rocked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Paul Stanley's got a great voice. He can play the guitar. Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Never seen that guy's bass playing.
Yeah.
And they put on a good show. I mean, live. Go see Kiss. My God.
Yeah, they certainly had stupid lyrics. I want to rock and roll all night, party every day. I mean, come on,
man. Song.
But I'm not a lyric guy. If the song moves me, it moves me. It's kind of fun during these times of quarantine. The different celebrities that come on and do live videos. Have you seen anybody do that?
I have heard about a lot of them, but I haven't checked any out yet.
Like, I sent you and Sergio, our friend Sergio, and you. Sergio was mentioned on, I think, the first podcast we did.
Dude.
Anyway.
Everyone listening to this knows who Sergio is.
You're right. The five people that listen to this know
who
Sergio
is. Who are they talking about?
Wishful thinking, man. I'm thinking maybe somebody will reach somebody that doesn't know our circle of friends. But
some 80 going, Mark, who is Sergio that they're talking about?
My mother. anyway, I sent you guys that link to Questlove. Who's been doing like?
Oh yeah, right. And I was interested. That would probably be really cool.
Yeah, he's doing DJ
I'm sure
sets.
They have like a after video of it. That's still on YouTube or something. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, you can see the one that I sent. I thought that one was really cool. He was doing a lot of cool
I'll
stuff.
See if, yeah.
But anyway, to get back on track, Paul Stanley has been doing a couple of those. And I saw one where he did a couple of – I think he did that song actually. And he talks about like the different influences that he had and stuff like that. And like there would be like a some unknown band that was recording in the studio next to them when they were recording. And like he probably stole their song or something like that. But then he talks about people like Humble Pie that he was listening to, and like, you know, The Who and Jeff Beck and people like that, that
yeah.
you can go That's back and like, you can go back and actually listen to Kiss and be like, oh, wow. Yeah, I can see where they're coming from. These guys, were taking in a lot of cool stuff in the 60s and just rebranding it with makeup on for kids. And it worked.
Oh, and the makeup is the only thing that really was so different about them. I mean, every next generation band is going to rebrand what they grew up with and make it their own.
Yep. Absolutely.
Art Blakey listened to Chick Webb.
Mm-hmm.
And Chick Webb sounds worlds different. He sounds way different than Art Blakey does. But that was his influence. And he took what Chick Webb did, and that's who he says was his main influence, and went on to become the drummer that he was.
Right.
But yeah, he borrowed a little bit from Chick Webb for sure.
Yep. That's where we all come from. Yep. We all come from somewhere.
Not listen to any Chick Webb.
Have I?
Yeah.
No, I have not. Is he from the, like, what era is he from?
Oh, dude, he's from like the 20s and 30s.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I mean, if Art Blakey was listening to him, then yeah, it's got to be real early.
Right. Blakey, I want to say his first album or first recording was probably about 1949, 1950, somewhere around then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I want to say, I think Chick Webb had already passed by then.
Yeah, but it's funny that you bring that up. Going back to the Questlove show that I was watching, he was playing a loop of a Max Roach song.
Nice.
Which was a drum solo called The Drum Also Waltzes. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I think
I have that on vinyl. I think I have it here, actually, to be honest with you.
Get out of my face. I have to hear that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have that, dude.
I have to hear that. I can't wait until we can hang out again.
It's got like 4 or 5 songs on it. Like, the songs are really, 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 really long. I like about 3 songs. There's a couple things that are just kind of way out there. Max Roach did play some way out of their stuff too.
Yeah.
Especially for him, you know, one of the earlier drummers, some of the jazz that he was doing was, you know, yeah.
But
I mean, you might say he was the father of that avant-garde stuff that came out in the 60s. And he was doing that stuff way before anyone else was.
Well, the reason I brought it up is because I think a lot of the rock guys listened to that record, especially John Bonham, especially Neil Peart, R.I.P., you name it. They listened to that record and loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And incorporated that into their playing style.
For sure.
And it's not a real complicated piece, but the timing is incredible.
And that's what makes it so special, yeah, is the timing.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. it's also,
yeah.
It really holds your attention for being such a minimal piece. But anyway, I digress.
All right. So you had mentioned jazz, and I think this will be the first time that we've played a jazz song on here. But I'm going to go ahead and try to submit my second song about nothing. The reason why I picked this song is because, number one, I do like the song. It's a great song. It's one of the premier bass players out right now, and I like it when a bass player heads a band in jazz or rock or funk or whatever. But the title is what struck me the most. It's because the name of this song is called EGAD. And when you listen to the music, it's got nothing to do with the title. So we're going to listen to Christian McBride, and the tune is called EGAD.
EGADS! Here it comes. It's hard to turn that one down. I'm having a hard time fading that one out.
That's a really good song, isn't it?
Yeah. It sounds amazing. I was trying to look it up and find some information on it, like where it was recorded and who produced it and stuff like that. And I don't have enough time to do that. But I'm looking at the album cover and I'm seeing people like Chick Corea, Miles Davis. Foreplay? Oh, this is an album called Jazz Central Station. This must be a compilation.
No, the Jazz Central Station was, I want to say, the label that released that, because that's on a compilation.
Gotcha.
I believe that's the only recording of that. I don't think it's on any of his albums.
Oh, okay.
Not that version. And that's the version that I like. I'm glad you found the right one. But yeah, man, this song is it's very underground, and it's you know, there's not much info on it. So I was like, here's my crack at nothing, and you know, yeah.
Well, looking at the title, I wonder if it has anything to do with the notes EGAD.
That is a possibility. Like, never looked at it that way. And if I were to guess that he was trying to be clever and do something like that, I would say, yeah, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I need to pick up my bass.
Absolutely. When's the last time?
Dude, are you kidding me? I think Serge and I both are just kind of like, you know, for the right product and the right purpose. And boom, I'm on it again. But playing bass is a instrument that is hard to just practice on by yourself. You almost, at the very least, you got to have a drummer, you know. And it would be great, you know, to have a guitarist or a pianist. I mean, you know, the bass is just, you're lingering there. You're in the background. You know, you're supporting the rhythm. And so it's just hard to play by yourself. And, you know, it's, you know, yeah.
I hear you. But it's not impossible, especially if you have it in your hand. If you set aside the time to practice or jam or whatever you want to call it, you'll come up with something eventually.
Yeah, but to what ends?
But I hear you, dude. I have a lot of instruments. And bass is one that I don't pick up very often. I just got a new bass amp today, as a matter of fact. And
you went out and bought a new bass amp today?
I did not buy it. I lucked out royally, and my neighbor gave it to me.
Those pictures you showed me earlier.
Yes, sir. It's a B15 Ampeg B15 amplifier.
Nice. What's the wattage on that?
I don't care. It's the industry standard bass amp that you hear on a lot of recordings. Pretty much any major studio has a B15 for you to play bass through because it sounds so damn good. James Jamerson used the B15.
I don't think so. I'm calling you out on that.
I'm gonna throw you right out of this podcast right now.
He was strictly Fender, man, all the way, dude.
He played a Fender. He played a P bass, yes. But right. Amplifier-wise, he definitely played a B15 Ampeg.
Fender bass, man.
Okay.
All right, we're going to do some research on that. I'll get back to you on that.
All right.
I'm pretty sure he used the bassman.
But anyway, hopefully it encourages me to practice the bass a little more, or write something on the bass or something, because I like playing it. I'm not a good bass player. I'm passable. I could come up with a riff, you know what I mean? And maybe I can write a song around it. And when all this craziness ends, you can come over and play it. I'll play drums.
What I'd like to do is record.
Let's do it. Like I said, this is the industry standard recording bass amp. Let's use it, son.
Right on.
Speaking of recording your own music, my next song is by a band.
And this will be the last one.
Okay. Andy's putting an end to it tonight.
Yeah, man. It does itself, dude.
He must have... You must have a computer game to get to or something. Is that true?
Excuse me, man. I'm sorry. Actually, I was going to try to watch something with my wife, and then because she goes to bed early.
Okay.
On Saturday, she might be up till 9:30. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's 8:12 now. Yeah, and we started this podcast at like 7:15, son.
Yes, we did. So it's about like an hour. It's about an hour. That ain't so bad. That's about what we usually run. We have a natural clock that we go by. Anyway, This is a song called From a Nash to a Pal by a band called Philo Beta.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I figured we could play most of that since nobody has rights to that but us. Kevin Jones, you just won the contest.
Ha, 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 ha.
He picked the best song. But, dude, that song is definitely about something.
Okay. You let me know. Let me know when you figure it out.
It's a song about young people holding on.
Uh-huh.
You know, just striving for a better day. You know, or just to keep, you know, trying.
Cool, man. Sounds pretty relevant.
Well, because, you know, what are the lyrics? We get by because where we are. We get by because no one's watching.
Yeah.
And then one of them says, we get by because we're okay. And it sounds like.
I think it's we get by because we don't care.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we don't care means more cynical. We're okay is more like, it's healthy. More of a triumph, you know, a more positive. But, I never knew the lyrics.
You pretty much had them. Well, especially that part is Doug singing, my friend Doug Krafchick, and your friend, too.
another great bass player extraordinaire.
Great bass Doug. Player, great singer, great songwriter.
Great songwriter.
But he's singing during that part, and it's very distorted, so I don't blame you for getting a couple of words wrong. But I think it's a song about nothing because, I mean, it's not that it didn't mean anything to us. It meant a great deal to write a song like that.
Sure.
It certainly made us feel something. But it was with a lot of my lyrics, it was written by committee. And we were all just kind of throwing lines out there and seeing what stuck. We were just throwing stuff to the wall and seeing what stuck, you know.
Sometimes that's the best way to write a song.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in the recording studio and the clock is ticking and you have to have lyrics, sometimes that's the only way. You can't wait around for inspiration. You have to make it happen.
Right on.
But, I think you're right. I can't tell you exactly what it means, even though I wrote most of it. It kind of makes sense in a weird way. There's a cohesion to the lyrics.
Yeah. If you asked a lot of people who listen to that song, they would definitely say, oh, yeah, that song has a lot of meaning. It doesn't mean nothing. Yeah. Oh, it's a great song, man, and it.
Let me meet those people.
I think you already have.
I think you're right.
All right, give me a wrap up song, and I'm out.
Oh, you want another one?
No, man. We need our going off song, our sign off song, or whatever.
Oh, are you talking about Shuffle by the New York Rock and Roll Ensemble?
I'm talking about whatever you're going to be playing, so we can.
I usually play the same song as our theme song at the end, but let me see what I got. I can change it up. What the hell? It's our show. Yeah, I'm going to play. I'm going to play a song by the Velvet Underground off of their album called Loaded. And the song's called
She's the Femme Fatale.
It's a great song, dude. We can cover that when you come over and play. Yeah. But no, this one's sung by their bass player, Doug Yule, who took the place of John Cale.
Right on.
And it's got a little bit of a country sound to it. I think on this album they were trying to get hits. They were tired of being underground like heroes. They actually wanted to make money. Anyway,
country like Yul Brynner country?
Yul Brynner? What are you talking about? Like Westworld?
No, man. I'm just being silly, man. I'm drinking.
I'm talking about like
Yul Brynner was the actor.
I'm talking about like your boy Bowtie. Or his brother Necktie.
Gotcha.
Anyway, this is Oh Sweet Nothing coming at you.
Say what? got off his feet to the poor boy right out in the street, and this is what he said.
We didn't